Father, thank you. Send your word again this morning. Bless us again. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Give Jesus your big hand of praise. And you may please be seated. Welcome to year 2021, your year of supernatural turnaround. I'd like to welcome every one of us to this second service in our Enough is Enough service. The prophetic focus for the month is prayer and fasting empowers fulfillment of prophecies. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18. According to the prophecy that had gone ahead of you, that thou mayest war a good warfare. You don't want to see prophecy come to pass, you run with them. You do what with prophecies? You run with it. Our teaching line this morning is captioned, Understanding the Blessedness of Prayer and Fasting. Understanding the blessedness of prayer and fasting. In other words, what are the blessings that comes with prayer and fasting? Before we go into that teaching, I'd like to read this text to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And for what purpose? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, unto all good works. The reason God gave us his word is for instructions. God gave us his word to make profits. But before the word can profit us, we must follow the instructions that comes with the word. And one of such instruction is the instruction of prayers and fasting. We had established the fact that we are in the last days. And one of the things that is known with the last days is that the last days are days of prayer and fasting. Listen to me. To be relevant in this last day agenda, you must be given to prayer and fasting. If you are not ready to pray and to fast, you have simply submit yourself to the devil to manipulate. And I can tell you look, when you see a believer that is not paying attention to prayer and fasting, he's a light-weighted believer. Anything can shake him. Jesus, while he was with the disciples, everything they needed, he was always providing. Just a moment that he withdrew from them, it was as if their world crashed. But when they remembered his teachings and began to follow his instructions, they became men and women of authority. Do I have fasting believers in the house?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
When last did you fast? Shout the loudest amen.
Amen.
Shout the loudest amen. I remember one of those days, while waiting on the Lord in the fast, it got to a point. Around September, towards the end of September, early October, I started a 52 days fast, September, and it ended around November. And 21 days started. And I don't start 21 days when 21 days starts. For about 6 years now. I don't start 21 days when 21 days starts. Depending on the year. So by the time you are counting 21, perhaps maybe I'm counting 28 or 26 or 27. Why? Because that's the secret of finishing strong. So that year, after that 52 days fast, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, we started 21 days prayer and fasting. One of those days I was preaching. And I began to see men like trees. Shout amen. Amen. I finished first service, no problem. Second service I was on. And suddenly the thing began to do that. And thank God I had one powerful associate pastor. So you observe. So he came and brought chair and said, sit down and be preaching. I said, ah. Even with the chair, I was still seeing men like three. Now I didn't finish that message. That's the truth. So he came up and finished the message. I only came and do go in peace. Even the go in peace, I was. So I left for the office. They said, sir, go and take water. I said, I'm fine. So I drove home and then. The next morning, we came for covenant hour of prayers, and we're having daily prayers like this. So in the evening, one of our elders, very beloved elder, he loved me so much. As soon as he entered the church, he just checked where I was sitting. So I didn't know. My eye just went straight to him, and I sighted him. The moment he entered the hall and saw me sitting, he just did like this. Praise God. In other words, he thought maybe they shot Pastor Arrow. So he went. So he wanted to confirm that the man is still alive. So as soon as he entered and saw me on seat, he said, bless God. So later I said, Elder, why did you? He said, sir, I just wanted to confirm that you are fine. I said, I'm fine. But what am I saying? Where I came from, they used to make one parable. The pot that will see Pepe, must be hot. To stay in authority, you must learn to pay the price. God's servant Bishop Edukwu shared his testimony. He said it was in a year, I think 1982 or 84, thereabout. He said for the whole of that year, he was in a fast. He came out from a meeting, or he wanted to go in for a meeting, and when he coughed, blood came out. And the wife said, let's go home. He said, home where? He said, if this will be the last message I will preach to bring Jesus, I will preach it. So when you see people gathered in faith tabernacle, people begging, you saw what happened during Christmas service. Hello? How many of us saw it? They were using youth chapel overflow. So they had to move. People begging to come to church. It's not happening because somebody can preach any message. It's happening because somebody had paid the price. The price of prayer and fasting. People like stories, but they forget to follow the steps of those people that have those stories. And hear me, what I'm sharing with you is not just limited to the pulpit. There is a price to pay to stay at the top. I said, in the course of last week, I said, look, what it costs a man to succeed is not as compared to what it takes to remain a success. I heard God's servant sharing where he went for a meeting and a function, and he was sharing. He said, look, not that I fasted is something I'm still into at this age. So if you are here, you are even 12 o'clock, you are breaking your fast. You say, no, my eyes is in up, and there's no health challenge with you. Then you need to check it out. If you must see his power, Psalm 63, he said, my soul thirst for thee. My flesh long for thee. For what? To see thy power. To see thy power. To see thy power. Listen to me, it's not all eyes that are looking at you and really looking at you with a good will. But what is it that brings about a barrier for them not to assess you? Is the power that flows out of you. Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, returning from the encounter with power on the altar of prayer and fasting, The Bible said, his fame spreaded abroad. The devil tempted him. But the devil had forgotten. He thought it was still the same Jesus the carpenter. He tried to lift him. It was heavy. The weight had been generated. Listen to me. There is power to serve and serve well. There's power to remain as a Christian. You need power to remain as a child of God. Not all this charismatic, indomie Christianity we have. Somebody's changing level.
Amen.
Let me hear you loudest, amen.
Amen.
Are you willing to pay the price?
Yes, sir.
Are you willing to pay the price?
Yes, sir.
I said, by inspiration on Wednesday, I said, there's power to stay in abroad. Is somebody with me? Now, some of the persons you came together with, they are normal here. Am I speaking? Not that they did anything bad, but the power is not there. Even with a merit ID card, they just say, we don't want you, just go back. I've gone to one or two countries. I have never suffered to visa. That's the truth. That's the truth. I said in a land, all the years, I never went to the embassy. They just came and gave me my visa and said, travel. Why? Power to get it. Even when I need to go for a renewal, I'll just sit down, they just needed me to be there. I will sit down. When they finish the renewal, they will give me my ID card and update it. And I will just go. After another year, they will call me. They say, this thing is expiring in 2 months. Come again. I will go and renew. No stress. No stress. Now, you know what? God is bringing you to the realm of no stress.
Amen.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
All this one that you'll be pursuing is visa for 5 years. Which country is that? Is it heaven? God is changing your levels. Now, I'm saying this to get you angry so that you can upgrade in power. That when you appear to the person, they say, please sit down. When we are through, we'll get back to you. And as soon as they're through, they just tell you approve. Just stamp your visa and move on. Not getting to visa to live in our country will not be a prayer point. I say, my God is changing your level in the name of Jesus. Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
Listen, somebody say, after all, it's because he's a pastor and this commission is, are there no pastor that want to travel, the visa no click. And when they try the first time, try the second, they say, is he the only one? Bring another person. And that's all. Listen to me. My God is working some things for you on the background. That every time you show face, power is what will be showing to the people.
Amen.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
Now, that's why you need to do what is needed to upgrade in power level. And that's prayer and fasting. Hear me, oh beloved. We all must beware of selling our birthright to our belly like Esau. You must beware of selling your birthright to the devil. Your birthright, selling it out to your belly. Why? You must eat everything. Listen to me. You and I, we are in the era of fasting. We are in the era of fasting. We are in the era of fasting. Don't be deceived that somebody said Jesus has fasted for you. It's still the same Jesus that said, look, beloved, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and by fasting. He told you and I. He said, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and by fasting. This kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. But we must take note that our fasting must be done correctly. Say correctly. Say it again, say correctly. Let me also mention before I enumerate the approach, the profitable approach to fasting. It is prayers that gives value to fasting. It is prayers that gives value to fasting. That means fasting without prayers is valueless. It is your prayers and my prayers that gives value to fasting. Matthew 17, 19 to 21. They brought an evil spirit to the disciples of Jesus Christ to cast it out. They couldn't. But when they brought it to Jesus, with one word, he cast out the demon. And the disciples went by and said, "Master, why couldn't we cast this devil out?" And Jesus, a lover of them, he said, "This kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Which means they were not fasting. Which also means, maybe they were fasting, but they were not praying. They were only in religion. Shout amen. Amen. Now, when we were growing up, thank God for my biological father, a man that loved the Lord. We have a fixed day of fasting, and that's Wednesday. So every Wednesday we fast. The only time I enjoy that day is from 6 p.m. What time? Because that day, when he's returning, when my dad is returning from work, he will buy a lot of fruits, everything you enjoy. But you see, from 7 till that 6, I hate that timing. So one day I said to myself, I was asking myself a question. I said, "Are you sure this man actually gave back to me?" And I said, "If he gave back to me, why didn't he confide in me? If he doesn't have money for breakfast and lunch, he should confide in me and say, 'Children, no money for breakfast and lunch. Don't worry, at dinner, we'll all eat.' Instead of telling us to fast." I think I was in primary four. I didn't understand that he was preparing us for what God has for us. When I was now left alone, I find myself in that institution, and I was faced with a challenge. I now remember that this one now, the father is not here. You have to bring out what you were taught. Nobody told me. I organized prayer and fasting for myself. And that's the same thing now. We are in the era. Jesus is left. You know, he's no more around us. He's with us. But much more, you and I, we are here. And you must begin to follow his principles if you must command results. Shout amen. Now, what are the biblical approach to profitable fasting? We'll just run through them, and then we'll shut down the service. One, you must define your goals and objective. Why are you in this fast? Questions are the answers. Anthony Robbins said, questions are the answer, one of the chapters in his book. Questions are the answer. Why am I in this fast? And why is that so? Your approach is what determines your profitability. And the best approach is to have a set goal and objective. Just like Esther, in Esther chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. They were challenged and said, "Go and fast for me before I go in to meet with the king," which was not normal. Listen, if you must command the abnormal to make it normal, then you must follow the approach of fasting, the correct approach. Take for example, God's servant asked this question: why is this church not growing? It didn't just stop at that question. Gathered the staff and said, "Let us wait on the Lord and find out the reason why this church is not growing." And on the third day, the Lord appeared to him and said, "Hey, come out. Let me show you something." And he came out in the afternoon and said, "Look up." He looked up and saw a thick cloud of darkness sitting on the church. Now, he wasn't just fasting. He was both fasting, praying, and studying the word. Now, the word had came that, look, and the darkness comprehended not. So speak to that darkness. God didn't say this, what to do. God showed him what was wrong, and now he has studied the word. So he knew that light cannot comprehend darkness. So he spoke light, and the darkness folded away from there. God didn't only stop there. God said, now this is what to do to keep the church growing. Keep sowing the seed. Keep the grass green. Keep sowing the seed. The sheep will come. Keep the grass green and the sheep will abide. And that settles it. There is no church growth principle anywhere. These are the church growth principles. And how did they come? Why is this church not growing? Define your goal. For example, you can get to ask yourself, as a man in estate, as a woman in estate business, why have I not been able to close a deal? Inamashakatalia. You are praying, you are waiting on the Lord in the fast, you are studying the word. Why have I not been able to close a business? The first day, the second day, the third day, boom, light just shows. Change your presentations, and that settles it. Now, you now become like a magician. Why? Because you went into the fast with a goal and objective. Why have I not been able? Jeremiah 33, verse 3. It's a call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Listen, you can't be running here and there the way they are running here and there. No. Somebody else can ask, why have I not been able to retain a job? I get the best of jobs, but after 2, 3, 4, 5 months, I lose the job. Why? What is the problem? Where is the challenge? So you go into the fast. Maybe in the next 3 days, you say, these 3 days, this is what I'm focusing on. Why have I not been able to retain a job? Somebody else can make a goal and an objective and say to yourself, why is my health, or why am I struggling this way in my health? And you are fasting. You are waiting on the Lord. He said, and your ears shall hear a word saying, this is the way. Lord, why am I struggling with my health? I am serving you. You say you will take sickness away. So why am I still struggling? And suddenly it comes, like you always do when you are sincere in your heart. And say, oh boy, my lady, your sugar intake is too much. As simple as that is, it can come to say to you, watch your menu. Do a revision on your menu. As simple as that is, that can bring a balance to your health that you have been running helter-skelter about. Somebody else can say, setting an objective, why these constant quarrels between me and my husband, between me and my wife? It could be an objective. It's something you so desire. You go before the Lord. Lord, why? You said we are to enjoy marriage and not to just bear it. We are to enjoy it. But this is like hell. Lord, where is it? And suddenly it appears. You say, hey, my daughter, your mouth is like razor. And that's the reason. And very simple. You see, there is something about God. When he corrects you, if you are sincere, he equally empowers you. Maybe to the husband, you might say, hey, look, stop going home late. As simple as that is, stop going home late. Now, settle down with your wife. That's how to make the fasting profitable. Asking God questions. Setting goals and objectives. Why am I not getting contracts anymore like I used to get? And suddenly answer you. The ones you got, how did you use the money? What is God doing? You set a goal and God is answering you based on your goals. In Ezra chapter 8, verse 21 and 23, he said, he proclaimed a fast. And what was the fast for? He said, to seek of the Lord the way to go. And the Bible said, and God was entreated and he showed us the way to go. One of us, long time testimony, or long time story, a pastor. He came from Canaan land, charge. Just like God's servant, you know, normally what he does, he comes to charge us when we go for meetings. So this man was charged, this pastor was charged. And one of the things he got charged about was Papa's testimony. And what was the testimony? God's servant said, you know, he said, all of you here, maybe he was talking to us pastors. We don't need your offering. We don't what? We don't what? With or without your offering, the church will still move forward. So this man picked that one and he was charged. Is somebody with me? So he got back to his church. That morning, you know, normally when we go for a meeting, Saturday is departure so that the fire will be hot on Sunday. So he came to church that morning, charged. Maybe perhaps, okay, then Papa has not started wearing white. Maybe he'll have wore Papa's white suit too. Is somebody with me? So he told the congregation, we don't need your money. So all the elders did themselves like this. So they stopped bringing offering. They stopped paying tithe. 1 month, 2 months. And the man said, oh Lord, what is going on? He set objective. Lord, what is going on? And God said, you want to know what is going on? And God said, you are foolish. You see that statement? Go and pray and withdraw that statement. That statement was wrongly made. That statement was made outside of wisdom. Now, as simple as that is, he will have just continued there and be struggling, thinking it's the devil. No, it's not the devil. He behaved foolishly. But how did he get to a point of correction? By asking, Lord, where did I miss it? Is somebody with me? Are you learning something? Is somebody blessed? Number two, biblical approach to profitable fasting. Prepare to engage your heart in prayers. Proverbs 16 verse 1. The preparation of the heart is in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Prepare your heart. For example, we said today, come with your list of enough is enough. What is that? You are preparing your heart. You are preparing your heart. Listen, look up now. Let me share one secret with us. You see this prayer outline we use, prayer guidance, Shiloh prayers. One of the reasons why we give those prayer points is to help you prepare your heart. Take for example, you don't even know what to pray about for the year. Now, you have the prayer focus for the year, the prophetic declaration for the year. They are to help you prepare your heart. Trust God to share that from next week. To help you prepare your heart. That Lord, this year 2021 is my year of turnaround. So you are prepared, your heart, that this year I'm experiencing nothing less than a 360 degree turnaround. And that shall be someone's testimony. Number three, you must come confessing and forsaking your sins. You must come confessing and forsaking your sin. Isaiah 51, verse 59, verse 1 to 2. The hand of the Lord is not shutting that he cannot save, nor is ear heavy that he cannot hear. He said, but your iniquity is what is separating you between you and your God. Your iniquity, check your heart. David said in Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Let me do a little digression. Are you holding bitterness in your heart? Is somebody with me? You ask yourself, am I being bittered? You see, there's something I love about this God. If you are sincere, There's nothing you ask him in the simplicity of your heart that he doesn't give you a question or give you an answer. Recently, some things began to trouble my heart. And I said, Lord, I'm open to what you want to say. I'm open to whatever you say. And guess what he told me? He said, my son, the man of God must not strive. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. If it appears as if I'm striving, Lord, I am sorry. And guess what? There was a peace that returned to my heart. The same way you can check your heart and ask yourself, am I regarding iniquity? Am I holding on to bitterness? Am I holding on to unforgiveness? Now, imagine husband and wife, they are not talking and they are praying and fasting. The woman writes paper and puts it under the dining in the morning and say, what would you want to use to break your fast? And the man say, anything. And they do that day one, day two, day 21. They even extend it to day 40. Are you sure that kind of fast will command any answer? No. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart. Can I say this to us? There is no one of us that is too big to say, I'm sorry. No matter your placement. You see, somebody defined unforgiveness as, I might not be able to get it exactly, but he said something about unforgiveness. He said, he's carrying somebody else's load and the person not paying you for it. You know, when you go to, maybe in Africa, I'm not sure they do it here, you have some people that helps you carry load. You are just walking. And when you are done, you pay them. Right? Now, they've taken the stress off you. But the same way with unforgiveness, you are helping somebody to carry his load, and now the person is not even paying you. And to make the matter worse, he's not even aware that you are carrying his load. That's what unforgiveness is. Don't continue this fast. If you trace any unforgiveness in your heart, quickly ask God for forgiveness. And if possible, call that person and say, hey, I let you go. I let God. Have you wondered why our father in faith would say he practiced advanced forgiveness? Remember, the son was saying about him, and I think I've had him say that statement too. He said, there are a group of people, before they call, God is answering. Why? Because there is no unforgiveness in their heart. Listen to me. There is nothing anybody did or had done to you that you can't forgive if you choose to forgive. It's a choice. I've had instances to counsel some people, some couples. And I said to the man, look, you have to forgive this woman. You have to forgive her. He said, Pastor, you're just talking like that. You're just talking like that. You're just talking like that. Put yourself in my own shoe. I said, God will not let me get to that shoe. But but I said, well, everything I'm saying to you, I'm not just saying it. I'm not, in, but this is what the word says. Forgive. And guess what? He found a place, though it was harsh. You know, once in a while, people use us as platform for transferring aggression. Is somebody with me? You quarrel with your wife or your husband, and now I'm asking you, you now see me as just be dumping and dumping and dumping. So I say, I understand. So after a while, I say, well, that thing you said, no problem. Just take it easy. Just still forgive. I'm still insisting. That's what the word says. After some few months, I was now speaking with this person. He says, sir, thank you. Well, we thank God. Things are changing now. Things are changing now. So thank you. Things are changing now. Now, I now saw two of them. The way the man was holding the woman, I said, hey. So now you are enjoying the fruit of forgiveness. Because if you are not forgiven, maybe the womb will have crashed. So what am I saying to us this morning? Find a place to forgive. Is somebody with me? If for nothing, now hear this now. Let me do a balance. The forgiveness is not for that person. It's for your own sake. And one of the reasons is so that your prayers will not be hindered. So that you won't just be punishing yourself, fasting and fasting and fasting, and nothing is changing. Shout amen. Amen. I believe somebody got that. Number three, you must come reminding God of his word, which is his will. Isaiah 43:26. Put me in remembrance. See, that you can't be in this church for 2 years and not know how to put God in remembrance concerning his word. Except if you are not a deep follower. We don't pray casual. There's no prayer point in this church that doesn't have scriptures. We are saying, Lord, increase your church because of what you said. Now, some of us, we are so familiar with some of our prayer points. For example, one of such prayer points is, we pray this way and say, Lord, reaper angels. Reaper angels. The angels, the reapers are the angels. Now, it has become a slogan. But you know what? What we are doing is we are praying scriptures. We also pray this way and say to the Lord, Lord, bring the people. Gather multitude from far and near. All are in scriptures. They are all in scriptures. What we are doing is we are putting God in remembrance. And Lord, we know your word. This is what you said. You said, if you'll be lifted, you will draw many unto yourself. The next supper day, almost the whole city gathered. So when we are saying the whole city will gather, we are not just speaking vain words. We are putting God in remembrance. You know, some of you, in fact, all of you here, you are big men and women. Amen?
Amen.
The big men and women are saying a loud amen.
Amen.
But you know how it came to pass? I think Psalm 2, verse 8 now. He said, ask of me the hidden. Ask of me and I will give them to you. The utmost part of the earth. So there are times I ask God, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I need a keyboardist, send him. I need a bass guitarist, send him. And before you know it, somebody will just come and say, sir, do you have bass guitar? I said, we have. Just come. I remember one time I was pastoring the church and I saw we have instruments and there are no people playing it. And I look at the instrument, in the name of Jesus, instrumentalist, thou shalt come now. 2 Sundays after that, the whole place, they were even on row. We said, no, you are not playing this week. You are playing next week. Shout amen.
Amen.
But what is it? Praying is what? Acts of me in the hidden. Next, you must continue to engage in praying kingdom advancement prayers. This is a mystery with this commission. We pray kingdom advancement prayers. Somebody might say, but don't we have needs? You have needs. But when his needs are met, when the need of God is met, your needs are automatically met. Matthew 6:6 and Matthew 6:33. And lastly, profitable approach to prayer and fasting. Engage in praying in the spirit. Learn to pray in the spirit. Learn to pray and pray more in the spirit. Like Paul the Apostle, he said, I pray in tongues more than ye all. In Romans 8:26, he said, likewise, the spirit also helps our infirmities. We don't know what to pray about, but the spirit helps us with groanings which cannot be uttered with the tongues of men. Shout the loudest amen.
Amen.
Give Jesus your big head of praise. Now, very quickly, This is our enough, is enough service. In this second service, we want to deal with enough is enough to satanic harassment and oppression. Now, here it is. Every satanic harassment is illegal. Is what?
Illegal.
Is what?
Illegal.
Hear this also. Satanic oppressions and harassment are real. But more real is our victory in Christ. There are people that are being oppressed, harassed by the devil. But the good news is, our victory over those harassment and oppression is surer than the harassment of the devil. God's servant said he was driving down sometime, and he overtook a woman. You know, he overtook a car. On a good day, when you are driving and somebody is driving slowly and you are moving very fast, what do? You overtake. So he said they got to the filling, you know, to the gas station, and this person he overtook just came and passed and looked at him. And looking at him, the lady just looked at him and said, you overtook me. And the lady said, let me see how you will get to where you are going. And God's servants looked at her and said, I will get there and they will tell you that I'm there. I got to where I was going. Now, what was that? Satanic harassment. That woman was a principality. And you know what? She meant what she said. So there are times you just find some individual, some situation just harassing you. You know, bringing you to a point, asking you the question is, if truly you are a child of God, prove it. Prove it. Prove it. But that devil is a liar. I say that devil is a liar. 1 John 5:4. He said, whatsoever. Whatsoever, whatsoever, which also means whosoever that is born of God does what? Overcomes the world. He said, and this is that victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. Now, the meaning of that is, anyone that has said, let me see how you will succeed, you know what? They will be alive and well, see you succeeding. Let me hear your loud amen.
Amen.
Let me hear your loud amen.
Amen.
Now, look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. Look at something here I'd like to show to us. Your God and my God is never interested in you being oppressed. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, beginning. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cries by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land. Which kind of land? Which kind of land? Is somebody saying what I'm saying at all? Which kind of good land? A large land. A land flowing with milk and honey. Sir, it is not where you are located that matters, but your understanding. I bless God for Dubai. Is somebody with me? I bless God for Dubai. But you know what? God can do it anywhere. Is somebody with me? God can do what? Can do it anywhere. There's nothing God can do here that he can't do in Africa. So relax yourself. We're in one station. Good place. I was being paid in dollars. And when I first got there, some people just came and said, hey, Pastor, now that God has brought you, you have documentation, you have this, sit down very well. And what she meant by sit down very well is, I should create things that will make me feel as if I'm indisposable. That look, there's no how. He said, God, sit down tight. I said, sit down tight for what? You mean I've gotten to heaven or what is it? I said, listen to me. If they say move today, if there's a flight that day, I'm leaving that town that day. Is somebody with me? And when they say move, they told me on Friday, Saturday there was no service, I was preparing for service. Sunday, I finished preaching. I say, praise the Lord, church. Your pastor is on transfer. And I'll be leaving 2 a.m. on Tuesday. They say, it's not possible. I say, okay, wait. When I get to where I'm going, you will know. They thought it was a joke. Pack my things. The ones I couldn't pack, I say, pack them for me and send it. Tuesday, I left the town. They say, it's not true. By Wednesday, I landed in Nigeria, Wednesday. They featured me. I landed about 4, and service was 6. So I joined them in service after about close to 20 hours flight. When I joined them, they saw me. They said, is it not this man that was with us on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday? Now, that is knowing and having the consciousness that, look, God can do anything anywhere. Hear this. If they say, Pastor, move today. If there's flight today, bye-bye. You help me send my load, I'll carry it in Nigeria. Is somebody with me? So relax yourself. Do what? Why? Because God says he will bring you to a land flowing with milk and honey. So anywhere is milk and honey. Haven't you read? The art is of the Lord and the fullness thereof. Oppression comes to an end in your life.
Amen.
I didn't hear your loud amen.
Amen.
I didn't hear your loud amen.
Amen.
Now, here it is. In Psalm 30 and verse 5. Psalm 30 and verse 5. 30 and verse 5. He said, for his anger endureth, but for what? So, weeping is only permitted for a moment. You shouldn't be a cry-cry baby that is continually crying, crying, crying. No, he said, weeping is only permitted for a moment. He said, but joy cometh in the morning. I stand here on the efficacy of this word. Everything causing you weeping comes to an end today in the name of Jesus. Over that job issue, no more weeping again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 of it, it said, our light affliction, in case you didn't understand, Psalm 30 verse 5. It says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. So that affliction is for a moment. Is for a moment. Get angry. Is for a moment. They didn't create you to come and be a problem nurser, to be nursing problems, to be entering challenges here and there. No, that's not the will of God. Job was challenged. But the same Job came out of the challenge and enjoyed the goodness of the Lord. So that means an end has come to that your challenge. In Isaiah chapter 10 verse 25. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 25. He said, and in that day, a little while. You see it down? A little while. What will happen? He said, the indignation shall cease. The indignation shall cease. A little while. The indignation shall cease. And today, that indignation is coming to an end. Now, let's look at these four forces that enforce the mandate of enough is enough. Now, we have established the fact that you are not permitted. Anything you are going through is only but for a while. But you need some forces to enforce them. One, enter a covenant to serve God. If an end must come to that challenge, enter consciously into a covenant to serve God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12, the Bible said they entered into a covenant to serve God. And what happened? And they began to enjoy peace on every side. They entered a covenant to seek the Lord. And in verse 19, the Bible said, then they had peace. The weeping is still continuing because you have not consciously entered the covenant. I was speaking with one of my daughters, and she was sharing with me. And she said, sir, now I am more intentional about it. What was she intentional about? Her spiritual growth. Her service to the Lord. Listen, if you are not intentional, you can't go nowhere. Be intentional in your service. All this while you are serving God as if you are serving human beings. You are wasting your time. Come on to come and sing, they will beg you. To come and usher, they will beg you. What are you carrying? They not be saying, we didn't see you. Say, I'm very busy. I'm very busy. You need to be intentional. See, I was sharing with some of us. I said, we need to get serious with God. We need to what? We need to what? If they ever told you that you will register before you come for service, would you believe? Is somebody with me? That before you come to church, you must register. If you don't register, you might not be allowed in. Would you believe? Now, we meet in Holy Trinity Church. If somebody, those of us that have been coming, we have a hall there apportioned to us by the church, through, you know, the government through the church there, where we are meeting. Now, they tell us, meet for only 30 minutes. So we start by 7:30, and by 8, we're already out of the hall. If they tell you a time will come, that service is only 30 minutes, would you believe? So every opportunity, you better maximize it. A time will come, you'll be begging, please, let me serve. They will say, no space. That's where I'm driving at. You'll be literally begging, please, let me serve God. Please, let me serve God. And they'll say, no space. They'll say, no space. And that calls for your being intentional. I want to do all my best to pastor you at the time I have. Because I don't know if I'll have that opportunity again to impact or to come, you know, to meet you. So I'm intentional about what I'm doing with us, with these assignments. It was in my meditation. I began to say, I was talking, you know, with some of our leaders, trying to give them a feedback of what is happening here. And I said, we'll go for service. They said we should do service for 30 minutes. They smiled and said, wow. Nobody ever believed that a time will come that they will tell you this is what time to spend. So now that you have the opportunity, you better engage. You need to be intentional about it. If you are serving and they are begging you to serve, I'm not sure it's an acceptable service. Because the service that God rewards must first be acceptable. And what service is acceptable? The services must be done willingly and from your heart. Done willingly and from your heart. Listen to me. Let me do a balance. I'm not saying you are not busy or engaged. No. Neither am I saying, as a matter of fact, when I see people and I sense that, look, it's like this man is not properly, I'm concerned. So it's not a matter of carrying church on your head and not do what you came here for. I know you came here for money. But, you know, to do it and get it right, you must still leave space for God. That even God knows that this man is leaving this space for me. You'll be making mistake thinking you are coming to serve pastor. You'll be making mistake thinking you are coming to serve your unit leader. You are making a great mistake. Enter a covenant to serve God if you must say enough is enough. Number two, powerful. Refuse excuses to remain in that situation. Some persons are in some situations, not because God doesn't want to bring them out, but they are themselves the excuse. Luke 14:18 is scenario there, and the Bible said, they all began to make excuses. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuses. On their own, not that the excuses were there, they began to make it. They began to make it. For example, somebody say enough is enough to bachelorhood. And you are making an excuse of no money to marry. They don't use money to marry. Once you get the wife, go and marry. You take the step of faith. That's what we are saying. Call the parents. Say, I want to come and see you. Can I have your list? Go and knock the door. Even the Bible said, Matthew 7:7. You ask the lady, I want to marry you. And when she say yes, you go and seek. A-S. And K, what follow? You go and knock. Did you see money there? Look at it now. The way you are looking at me like this. You don't know that K mean go and knock door? He said knock. What are you knocking? The door to the family. In scripture we are sharing here now. Why are you looking like me? Did you see money there? Hello. Thank you, studio. They are still putting it there. Maybe the man to is seeing it, is facing the. He said, go and knock. And you know, there are wonderful parents now say, oh, we just like you. Don't worry. This aspect will face it out. But if you didn't go to knock, who will face what out? Is somebody blessed? The blessings of the Lord, they do what? And lastly, you must engage Holy Ghost desperation, which is expressed in aggressive prayers. Holy Ghost desperation. You must be desperate. Enough is enough. Genesis 32:26. Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Genesis 32:26. I will not let you go until you change the step. Until you turn it around. Until you turn it around. Matthew 17:21. He said, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Say with me, enough is enough. Give Jesus your big hand of praise. Please rise to your feet. Is somebody blessed? Yes, say with me, no more limitations. No more satanic harassment. Say it again. Say, no more limitation. No more satanic harassment. That oppression of the night where some things come to press your neck. Sir, can I say this to us? I used to be a victim of that thing. Long ago, maybe 20 years. One day, after attending one of Faith Bible Institute, And our lecturer told me, and said, he said in the class while he was teaching, he said, if those things come again, wake up, put your two legs on the ground, and say, if they burn you where, come physically. Don't come in the dream, come physically. As simple as that instruction was, when I had that challenge, I woke up, I stood out from the bed, put my feet on the ground, as if they burn you where, don't come in the dream, come physically. How? Light came. And that was the end of it. You know what the Bible said? The devil has ears. That's why the Bible said, as soon as they hear my voice, the strangers will come out of their hiding place. And how do you get to speak? You speak in prayers. You make declaration. A man met God's servant and said, I used to hear noise in my ceiling everywhere. Noise in my ceiling. And God's servant said to him, hey, you are too quiet. That's the reason. Because two people cannot be making noise at the same time. You are too quiet. So begin to make noise. What noise? Noise of faith. If you fly here, you fall down dead. Do you think all these things God's servant used to say is just ordinary? He's applying the same principle that he's teaching us. If I be a man of God, if any bird fly here, they drop down dead. And they are dropping every day. Preparing for service one of those days in the church I pastor, one of my men just came. I said, sir, we saw this bird here. We saw this bird here. The bird is here. I said, ah, so what do you want to do with it? He says, sir, we just brought it to come and show you. I said, well, I'm not surprised. As the father is doing, as God is doing with the father, he's also doing with the son. I don't, nonsense bird came and dropped on his own. Why? Because somebody dares to say, if any evil force fly here, they drop dead. So you wake up in the morning. I say, it's not, you know what I tell you to say? It's not you immigration is looking for. You don't know what I'm saying. So when they come with their wallet, they just jump you and pass. Because you have spoken to the air. It's not you armed robber is looking for. It's not you kidnapper is looking for. But what do you do? Desperation in prayers and your declarations. When you say, I cannot be poor. And you are in poverty. You are saying it. You are saying it. What you are doing is, you have been desperate to really possess what belongs to you. What your mouth is too big to say, your hands might be too small to handle. Now, before we pray, we have prayed, and I know God has answered, but we still pray, and then we shut down. You are here this morning, you are not born again. Please give me the opportunity to pray with you. You are here this morning, you are not born again. All eyes closed, head bowed. I'd like to pray with you. Wherever you are, just lift up your right hand. Or you want to rededicate your heart to Jesus, either on ground or watching us online. You want to give your heart to Jesus, please lift up your right hand. I can see you anywhere you are. Thank you, my brother over there. I can see your hand. I can see your sincerity. Please, my brother there, just join me in front. I see you raising your hand. Join me in front. Let me pray with you here. Just give the Lord a big hand of praise. Please come. Church, make it big, 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 big for Jesus. Somebody else wants to give his heart to Jesus. Please come. Just look at me. Thank you. Please pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. I believe you died for me. Jesus, come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Now I know and I declare I'm born again in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray with you. Father, thank you for this one. Your power brought him. I ask that your same power will keep him. In the name of Jesus, I cover him with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Congratulations, you are now born again. I'd like you to go with our official there. He will talk with you and you get back to us. For as many that also pray that prayer online, please follow the instructions that will be shared in Jesus' name. Just make it big, big, big for Jesus. Now, I'd like you to make this declaration. We have prayed in the opening of the service or the word. Now begin to make this declaration. What did I say? Declaration. Enough is enough. Those things, begin to speak to them. Enough is enough. Remember Mark 11, 23. He said, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. You will have. Now begin to say it. Begin to say it. Begin to declare it. Begin to declare it. Begin to declare it. Begin to declare it. In the name of Jesus. Begin to declare it. In the name of Jesus. You will say to this mountain. You will say to this mountain. Speak to those mountains. They can hear you. Speak to those mountains. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayer. Everything you said, enough is enough too. I declare in the name of Jesus the Christ, an end comes to them in the name of Jesus. That sickness, you have said enough is enough. I declare so it is established in the name of Jesus. That moving object, you say no, enough is enough. I declare the seal of God upon it in the name of Jesus. And every other thing you wrote in your list that you have said, Lord, enough is enough. I declare it so in the name of Jesus Christ. And so shall it be. Lift up your hands and give God thanks. It's worthy. Give him thanks. Magnify his name. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Give the Lord your big hand of praise. Please take your seat for a moment.